gospel of the attested, crucified, risen, and exalted Jesus was preached in the power of his Spirit. What happens? Verse 37. Disciples are made. Disciples are made. Look at verse 37. Now when they heard this, the multitudes, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. They heard, they were convicted, they responded with repentance and faith. The gospel is preached and disciples are made. Amen. And that's where most people stop. Because a great misconception about the gospel is that the gospel of Jesus produces disciples of Jesus. That's not where the story stops. In fact, that's where it just gets started. Keep going. Chapter 2, verse 41. So, those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Look at verse 44. All who believed were together, had all things in common. Look at verse 47. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The commission was given. The Spirit was sent. The gospel was preached. Disciples were made. And the church was established. The church, not individual disciples of Jesus Christ, is God's mission and priority. Friends, here's what Acts 1 and 2 teaches us. That when the Spirit of Christ and the gospel of Christ get together, the offspring is the church of Christ. The rest of the book of Acts is the historical record of how the power of the Spirit and the preaching of the gospel makes disciples of Jesus that are always gathered into local churches. Every single time the gospel is preached, disciples are made, and the church is established here, there. Did you ever notice this about the book of Acts? Acts chapter 2, verse chapter 2 through 7. The church was established where? In Jerusalem. Chapter 8 through 12. The church is established in Judea and Samaria. Chapter 13 through 28. The church is established to the ends of the earth. The commission was given. The Spirit was sent. The gospel was preached. Disciples are made. But don't stop there, dear individualistic, self-styled American. The gospel doesn't produce disciples of Jesus. It goes on to produce the glorying, displaying church of Jesus. I've waited for the first 20 minutes of this sermon to confront a common misconception about the gospel by making one simple point. I've made that from the book of Acts. It's substantiated by the 22 other letters that make up the New Testament that are written to whom? Local churches. Here's the point. The local church is God's priority on earth today. God is not interested in merely creating new people. He is creating a new community. John Stott articulates this point well. The church lies at the very center of the eternal purpose of God. It is not a divine afterthought. It is not an accident of history. On the contrary, the church is God's new community. His purpose is not just to save isolated individuals and so perpetuate our loneliness, but rather to build his church. That is, to call out of the world a people for his own glory. The local church is undeniably God's priority on earth today. My question is it yours? If the church is God's priority, should it not be ours? And I don't just mean the elders and the deacons and the professional Christians among us. I mean you. The members of Poolsville Baptist Church. So, with the time that remains in my sermon this morning, I just want to show you in the most practical way possible what it looks like for you to make God's priority your priority. And honestly, it's just as simple as the first point. Make this local church a priority in your life and family. And when you do, you align your priorities with God's priorities. What does that look like? Well, fortunately, the brief description that was read earlier of the first church from Acts 2:41-47 will show us three priorities. They lived together in worship, community, and mission. They lived together in worship, community, and mission. What I'm going to suggest to you this morning is that's how you align your personal, your family priorities with God's priority, is by living together in this local church in worship, community, and mission. Let's read the main text for this sermon this morning, Acts 2:41-47. So, those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Verse 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And
see those three priorities? Worship, community, and mission.
Priority number one. Friends, of all the things that I can share with you this morning, in the plethora of scriptures that are available, in the zillions and zillions of topics that we could talk about, I came here to encourage you to live together in gospel-centered worship. Make worshiping with this local church a priority in your life, in your family. Why? Because of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves. You see that word? Devoted means to focus on and to be in continually. Worship was their priority and passion. They devoted themselves to what? Four things. The apostles' teaching. Their worship was saturated with the Word of God. Why? Because God breathes life into His people. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. Their worship was marked by fellowship. Why? Because the worship service is when the church gathers together. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Their worship was centered on the gospel. Why? Because the gospel of the crucified, risen Jesus Christ defines every disciple and every church. They devoted themselves to the prayers. Their worship was filled with prayer. Why? Because prayer expresses praise for who God is, gratitude for all that He has given to us, and our dependence for all we need. Filled with prayer. And what was the result? Verse 43, their worship resulted in awe of God. And friends, that's the perspective that we need here in this life. We need to be in awe of God because there's so many things vying for our attention. What we see here in verse 42, 43 is the prototype for our Sunday worship gathering. That's not all it was there and then, but this is the prototype for our gathering together for worship on Sundays, in which we read the Word, pray the Word, sing the Word, preach the Word, and see the Word through baptism and communion. They devoted themselves to it. That means that the members of that first church prioritized worshiping together. What would that look like if you prioritize worshiping? It would look like not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, wouldn't it? In Winchester, I'm sure that it doesn't happen here in Poolsville, but in Winchester, we have a very strange virus called the Sunday sickness. Now, it's strange because it happens usually sometime on Saturday night, Sunday morning, but it's amazing because it goes away, and people who were too sick to come to church on Sunday are all of a sudden well enough to go back to work on Monday and go back to school. Prioritizing worship means that you don't neglect unless you absolutely have to. It would look like parents, dads, especially you, doing whatever it takes to get your family to church every Sunday. Why? Because when you do, it demonstrates that God, not your kids' sports, not your job, not even just your rest on the weekend, is the priority of life, and the local church is the heart of that life. this is one of the most effective ways that you can point your kids to Jesus Christ and make them disciples. It would look like making sure to be here in person and not opting and settling for online solutions. That might be more convenient, but they miss the point of the church gathering together, don't they? Listen, friends, if you prioritize worship, you would look like listening on the edge of your seat. It would look like singing from the depth of your emotions, praying based on the reality of your experience in the power of God, and responding with complete submission and dependence on Him for grace. Members of Poolsville Baptist, make God's priority your priority. Our worship with this local church. Priority number two. Verse 44. All who believe, what are the next two words? Were together. Look there, verse 44. All who believed were together and had all things in common. Friends, they lived together in a gospel-centered community. They were together. They had all things in common. Now, I'm not going to ask you to sell all your possessions. I'm not going to ask you to go to some extreme, 1972 hippie commune and just set up shop here in tents and pools. I'm not asking you to do that. But we do learn three things about their life together in community from verse 44 through 46. Don't we look at it? The gospel community united around what they believe. See that in verse 44? All who believed were together. That's remarkable because these people were not together before. But what they believed about Jesus Christ and His gospel broke down social status, destroyed economic class, and obliterated racial barriers. They were together for the gospel. The second thing that we see here is their gospel community sacrificed for one another. They made sure that everyone's needs were met, didn't they? Even to the point of selling their own possessions. We learn a third thing. Their gospel community spend time with one another. They spent time with one another. Look at verse 46. Day by day, they attended temple together. They broke bread in their homes together. They received their food together with glad and generous hearts. They praised God together. Together. Remember, the gospel of Christ and the Spirit of Christ produced the church of Christ, not just individual disciples of Christ. If your Christian life looks mostly like a private relationship between you and Jesus, you've missed the point, friend. Together, community. So I've come here this morning just to encourage you to prioritize community. It's going to look like you working and praying for it. It's going to look like you refusing to let anything come between you and anyone else. When you feel that coldness, when you feel that irritation, you go toward that person, not with a fist, but with encouraging words. And you refuse to let anything destroy the unity between you and anyone else in this church. If you prioritize community, it's going to look like others-mindedness. Because the gospel 2, Paul writes, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others." Why? Because Jesus sacrificed himself for us. What would it look like to prioritize community? Friends, it's going to look like prioritizing the life of this church in your life. You don't come for what you get out of it. You come for what you give to it. Others mind it. You come to serve the others. You come to invest in this community. Whether you get anything out of it or not is beside the point. Look, you may not enjoy that community group or that cookout or that baby shower, but you don't go there because of what you get. You go there to invest in the community group, to make relationships at the cookout, and to love on that person who's having the baby shower. It's not about us. Glad Jesus didn't think that, right? It wasn't about him. He was others. So fools do. Make God's priority your priority. In the simplest way, prioritize living together in community with this local church. Your Bible study might be wonderful. It's not the church. Your homeschool co-op, probably a wonderful source of relationships. But your homeschool co-op, it's not the church. This is God's priority. Priority number 3 in the close. Worship, community, mission. Live together, Goolsville, in gospel-centered mission. The end of verse 47. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Mission was given, the Spirit was sent, the gospel was preached, disciples were made, and the church was established. What was the mission strategy of the first church? Look at verse 47. What was the mission strategy of the first church? Their mission, their growth, was a byproduct. It was a byproduct, the result of being the church. Do you see that? Their growth came from the Lord, and their growth was a byproduct of verse 42 through verse 47b of what they were more than what they did. Friends, a healthy church is a powerful witness to the life-transforming power of the gospel of Jesus. So how do you prioritize mission? Knocking on doors, right? Handing out tracts, fantastic. Going on a missions trip, sure, go. But what this tells us is that the hard work, the really effective but hard work of church growth is not finding more people and having cooler programs. It's being a healthy gospel church. And this church will be all the more healthy when you and every single member of this church makes it your priority to be a healthy church. Is much for accomplishing redemption through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for commissioning us. Thank you for giving your Spirit to empower us. Thank you for making us disciples. And thank you for not leaving us alone to perpetuate our loneliness, but gathering us into local communities, new communities of new people that display the new covenant glory of your gospel. I pray that Poolsville Baptist Church, because of the priority of every one of these members, would display your gospel here in our region and around the world. Pray this in your name.
If you would please stand as we conclude our worship.
Focusing us on being part of God's body, of Jesus' body. Thank you again. Receive the benediction. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. If you would take a seat for a moment and meditate on God's message this morning, you can leave when the music begins.